It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. The back row likes it. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. Thanks for joining us online as well. It's good to be in the house of God today. I just want to give God praise this morning. He's a good God. He loves us, doesn't he? No matter what, he loves us. He loves us in it. He loves us through it. Hallelujah. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. And can you believe it? This is the beginning of two services. Some of y'all are like, I didn't even know that. I just got to sleep 30 more minutes. Okay. Yes, we had people here earlier. I love what someone said last week. It actually was the president of Open Bible. He said this last week. He says, now First Open Bible on Sunday has two poles to fish with. Oh, come on now. Some of y'all didn't catch that. Two poles to catch with. Amen. I receive that. This month, our series is titled Discipled. You know what? You don't have to be perfect to do God's work. Somebody believe that in here today? You don't got to be perfect to do God's work. Ready? Exhibit A. Ah. My wife laughed the loudest. Did you hear that? It's hurtful, but truthful. Hey, thank you, Lord. You know what? You don't have to be perfect to do God's work. Look no further than the 12 disciples, whose many weaknesses are forever preserved through the pages of the New Testament. Can you imagine if your life was in the New Testament? And we just get to read it over and over, and you get to be the example. Hallelujah. Good, the bad, the very ugly. You know, Jesus chose ordinary men. Fishermen, tax collectors, tradesmen, political zealots. And he turned their weakness into strength, producing greatness from people who were otherwise known as being unremarkable. The 12 disciples weren't the stained glass saints that we imagine today. That happens a lot. When somebody passes away, we sometimes put them on this pedestal that they never lived on. We look at people and we forget that they were broken and lost and hurting and imperfect. The disciples, they weren't the stained glass saints that we imagine today. See, on the contrary, they were truly human. Prone to mistakes, misstatements, wrong attitudes, lapses of faith, and even bitter failure. Simply put, church, they were flawed people, just like us. All right, if you got your Bibles, your digital Bibles, your E, not the tree, feel free to open that up right now to YouVersion. It's a free app. It's a Bible app. If you have that, you can follow along today's notes. I always appreciate Pastor Mark doing this for us. You go to more on the bottom right corner. There's three little stripes. Click on events. Go down to First Open Bible Church, and you'll see today's notes. And if you want to save them, you can press save. If not, they're going to go away in a couple days, and then they'll be gone forever, except we're online, so you can listen then. Check this out. From the time Jesus began his public ministry in his hometown of Nazareth, he was extremely controversial. Can you believe that? Right? Sometimes we think Jesus of someone who he never was. He wasn't some hippie that was all about inclusion all the time. He was very controversial. He had the habit of doing the opposite of what the religious believed to be the way of the Lord. People even in his own community literally tried to kill him immediately after his first public message in the local synagogue. The first time he goes to church and he preaches, his people that he grew up with wanted to kill him. You don't believe it? Read this, Luke 4, 28 through 30. It says, when they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious, jumping up and mobbing him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built. They intended to push him over the cliff. You hear that? They're going to push Jesus over the cliff, but Jesus is a ninja. He's the first one. Read verse 30. But he passed right through the crowd and went on his way. Not everybody's kung fu fighting. Jesus was kung fu fighting right here. He just went, whoop. It's like, oh, you want to push me off the cliff? I'm out of here. But that's crazy. The first time he ever preached, they want to kill him. Not only kill him, push him off the cliff and watch him fall. Come on. That'll preach right there. Ironically, Jesus became tremendously popular among the larger Galilean region. Massive crowds came to see him and to hear him and to be a part of his mighty miracles. But Christ's divine strategy for advancing his kingdom on earth hinged on 12 men rather than the multitudes. Jesus chose to work through an ordinary few. Now, who were these 12? Luke 6, 13 through 16 tells us, and this is what the word says. It says, at daybreak, he called together all his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names. Simon, who he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and then everyone's favorite coming up here in a moment. So there's Judas, son of James, and then everyone's favorite, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Raise your hand if that's your favorite disciple. I'm just joking. That's what I thought. Okay. See, these men were perfectly ordinary men in every way. Not a one of these guys were renowned for their great education or their popularity or they had great power or even influence. They had no track record of being great theologians either. In fact, they were actually outsiders, outcasts when it came to religion. As far as the religious of the time were concerned, they were outcasts and they were not to be used by God. These 12 men, they were prone to mistakes, misstatements, wrong attitudes, lapses of judgment, weak faith, and they were even fearful at times, and they experienced bitter failure. Here's what's interesting as well. They also spanned the political spectrum of the time. Here you go, church. I'm doing it. One was a former zealot, a radical who wanted to overthrow Rome by force. Jesus also had the other side of the spectrum and had a disciple who worked directly as a tax collector for the Roman government. And many people treated that guy as a traitor against his own fellow Jews. Jesus can even bridge politics. Wow. Amen. I know it's not coming up on November, but I just had to throw it in there. Amen. Because it's true. At least four of these 12, some of y'all divided over something that isn't even biblical. It's so ridiculous. Get over it. Move on. His kingdom will last long beyond America. He was here before it, and he's going to be here after it. I'm not saying that you don't give honor and respect to the ones that God placed in authority. Because you should. You should. And you should vote. Okay? I will not raise taxes. Remember Ross Perot, that guy? I will not raise taxes. Okay, moving on. Some of y'all too young. Okay. I should be too young, but I do remember that. At least four of these 12 men were fishermen or tradesmen or craftsmen. I love this too. They all have different personalities. They were all different. That's one of my favorite things about the disciples is we can find ourselves in one of the disciples. Maybe not how we act or maybe how we act or maybe not how we think or maybe how we think or maybe the failures and the things that happen. We can all look to at least one of these disciples and say, ah, I see myself there. Here's some personalities of the 12. Peter. Okay, I had to start with my favorite. He was known for his impulsiveness, his quick temper, and often speaking and acting before thinking. Anybody ever been there this morning? Church, the wife is raising his hand. Come on now. Hey, listen, there's 11 more disciples. She's going to get it too. Amen. But you know, Peter, he was bold and he was deeply loyal as well. James and John, they were known as the sons of thunder for their fiery temperaments. James was zealous and ambitious. John was compassionate and he was loyal. Andrew, brother of Peter, is described as a man of action. He was humble and selfless. Then you have Philip. He was practical and inquisitive. You have Bartholomew. What a cool name, by the way, Bartholomew. What do you call him for short? Like Bart? Okay. Poor junior high, immediately I think of barf, okay. Hopefully Bartholomew didn't go to junior high, poor guy. Anyway, Bartholomew was honest and he was straightforward. Matthew, also known as Levi, was a man dedicated and adaptable. He was humble and repentant. Thomas, doubting Thomas, he was remembered mostly for his initial skepticism. He liked to question before he believed. Anybody ever been there? Okay. All of us have a little doubting Thomas in us somewhere. But he wasn't only known for being a doubting person, he was also known for being courageous as well. James is believed by many scholars to be the brother of Jesus. He was a leader to be trusted. He was strong, but he was quiet and unassuming. Then you have Thaddeus, also known as Jude. And many scholars believe that was another brother of Jesus, and he was known for being faithful and inquisitive. Simon the Zealot was strong, passionate, and dedicated. He was a determined man. And then you have Judas Iscariot. He was known for betrayal and great selfishness. Come on now. He was greedy and deceitful. I've been there. You ever been there? Now these 12 collectively, they were faithful. They were courageous. They were imperfect. They were humble. They were zealous. And they were bold. And they were just like us. Collectively and individually diverse. I love that about the disciples. I love that about his church. They were ordinary people just like you and me. Here's one of my favorite things about disciples is this. There's at least one, if not multiple, that we can look to and say, oh yeah, I've been there. I am there. Oh, I act like that. Oh, I've done that. I think like that. I emotionally am like that sometimes. And we can relate to them. And we don't just relate to them in their actions, but also their personality and in their failures. These individuals became instruments by which Christ's message was carried. God graciously empowered and used these men to spread the gospel message and to turn the world upside down. As ordinary as they were, with all their faults and their failures and their character flaws, yes, they were ordinary, but they were also very special. They were specifically called, they were handpicked from God to be carriers of Jesus' message after his ascension. They were chosen, and they were called, and they were just like you, and they were just like me. Church, I find it really strange that we assume that we need to be perfect or without issues to be used by God. Come on now. I'm talking to some of the religious in here. Or that we should have some certain personality or skill sets to get the job done for God. Oh, I'll never do that because I'm not like that. There's a guy named Moses that said that once. I'm not good at good in speech. I stutter a lot. I cannot lead millions. One of the greatest leaders in all of the Bible we will read about. See, Jesus didn't believe that the 12 had to be without issues or have a certain type of personality or have a certain skill set. He didn't believe that about the 12, and he does not believe that about you either. Here's a problem that we have in the church today. So many want to try to follow Jesus in the crowd, but Christ wants disciples to help lead the crowd. Jesus picked his disciples, and he loved them, and he trained them, and he forever changed them so God could change the world through them. They were perfectly imperfect, powerless to be empowered. They were unremarkable, doing the exceptional. They were ordinary, but chosen to do the extraordinary. Church, these are God's disciples. Come on now. It's truth this morning. Many biblical scholars believe that the 12 men that walked with Jesus, the disciples, they were only with him for about a year and a half to 2 years of Jesus' 3.5-year ministry. Read it again. A lot of times Jesus, in the beginning, he did the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the healings and the preachings and the teachings, and he did that alone before he started calling the 12. I found that very interesting. In my mind, I used to just assume that all 3.5 years that the disciples were with him, but they weren't. There was a short time that Jesus taught them the Holy Scriptures and theology. I would have saved a lot of money and a lot of time if I could have learned just directly from Jesus instead of going 4 years to school and then going back for two more, okay? But that's just the way it works now. But God's calling people out who don't even go to school. You don't have to go to seminary to preach the gospel. You don't have to get a master's degree to do what God has called you to do. Jesus discipled these 12 men by showing them that the kingdom of heaven has now come. Jesus taught them godly living, godly thinking, godly speaking, and godly loving. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to forgive. He taught them how to serve one another in humility. He commissioned them as his instruments to go heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out the demonic, to preach with authority, to preach with divine love, and to do the miraculous. It's true. These 12, what they started to understand is that their heavenly Father loves them. That's where it all started. He loves them. Jesus only did what he saw his Father do, and he spoke what his Father would say. These 12 men moved from self-centeredness to other-centeredness. They became empowered and led by God's Spirit and led by his truth. They desired a different life, one that had eternal rewards. They started to understand sacrifice. They started to understand servanthood. They found their identity in Christ and in Christ alone. Right? Being a fisherman wasn't who they are, it's just what they did. But now they're fishers of men. All this was wonderful. All this was amazing until there was a massive failure. And everything seemed to be lost. The time came when Jesus was betrayed. His disciples, the Bible tells us, left him. They all fled from him. Matthew 26:56 says this, "But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in scriptures." It says, at that point, all of them, all 12, of the disciples, everybody, deserted him, and they fled. From an earthly point of view, the Kingdom Is Now training program looked like an utter failure. It seemed like the ordinary would never be used for the extraordinary. It was all a waste of time. Jesus, man, he must have chosen wrongly. Christ was now on the cross. The failure was so profound that 11 of the 12 actually went back to their old ways of living. They went back to their old thinking, their old things that they did. They went back to the old life. And then one of them, he hung himself in pure evil and extreme shame. The disciples disqualified themselves. Church, do not be quick to disqualify what God has discipled. Come on, I'm going to say that. Do not be quick to disqualify what God has discipled. And yes, I'm talking about you doing that to yourself. Right now, at this point, the devil is laughing. The ordinary seemed defeated. And Christ was killed. Until Sunday came. Hey, the resurrected Savior rose from the dead. Our risen Lord was resurrected, and he called these men to a higher calling. He said, listen, everything I've taught you is truth. And then they became empowered by the Holy Spirit at Pentecost 50 days later. And they undertook the great task that they were called to by Jesus himself, to be his disciples, to be his apostles, to preach the good news, to go and do what God has called them to do, what he has created them to do. And these disciples, they never went back again. They never went back to the old life. They didn't even go back to the old ways of thinking. They were transformed. They were all in. They were forever changed. The risen Savior changed the game. Come on. These men are living proof that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. In and of themselves, they were clearly not up for the task. It was beyond them, but divinely for them. Hey, y'all quiet this morning. It's good. It's good. It's God's word. It's good. All this was beyond them, but somehow it was divinely for them. For they were chosen by God for such a time as that. See, what the world deems as ordinary, God prepares and anoints for the extraordinary. Hey, I never wanted to preach. It's intimidating. Number one fear is speaking in public. But you know what? When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you can do anything and everything he calls you to. It don't matter where it is, what you're doing, or where you're going. If God's upon you, in you, he's going to be through you if you let him. Let him disciple you and anoint you to do exactly what he's called you to do. See, church, when God calls his disciples to action, there's no second string. There's no backup players. There's no plan B. Ordinary and all, he qualifies his disciples. Surprise, surprise, Christ knew what he was doing. Right? He knew what he was doing. From his divine perspective, the ultimate success strategy included the ordinary to carry out his divine will. His sovereign will is to be accomplished by those who live by faith and are empowered to do so. See, the world thinks this is foolish, but the disciples, they know his truth. The disciples finally understood they are called by God to be instruments in his hands. Just like you and just like me, we are called to be God's instruments in his hands. It was that way 2,000 years ago, and it's that way today. You know, God delights in using the ordinary. He delights in it. Oh, look what I can do in and through my people. If they would submit to me, they would lay down their life to me, and they would follow me, I will make them fishers of men. They will go places and do things that they can't even imagine. Things will happen in and through them and around them that they could never even come up or comprehend. The Bible says that his ways are greater than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He delights in using the ordinary. He delights in using what the world calls foolish to put to shame what the world calls wise. Here it is. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, he's telling a group of believers in the first chapter, 26 through 31, and he's telling us this morning, this is what he says. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. Hey. He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and he used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can boast in the presence of our God. God has united you and me with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. And I love this. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Oh, look what he's done. This is my life. Woo! Isn't he faithful? Praise God. What the world deems ordinary, God prepared and anointed for the extraordinary. And guess what? He's still doing it. He's doing it. He's even stirring you now. I thought about this all week, especially going into this new series, Discipled. Why did Jesus choose the 12 disciples that he did? Why would he choose them? They seemed unlikely. They were ordinary. They were ones the world would never choose. Church, maybe that's why these men are so familiar to us. Because they're just like us. I love that they're approachable. They're real. They're people we can identify with. We share similar stories and personality traits and even character flaws. These disciples are heroes of the faith. They're role models we all can look to despite their shortcomings. And here is one of my favorite characteristics of all 12 disciples that walked with Jesus, all the ones that were recognized. These disciples, here is one characteristic that they were all known by. Acts 4:13 says this. The members of the council, this is the religious elite that are getting around and they're listening to these men speak about Christ crucified and raised from the dead. He says, they were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scripture, but they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Come on. The greatest characteristic about you as being a disciple for Christ is you need to be with Jesus. All the insecurities, all the head games, all the past mess ups, all the sin, all the disgusting stuff that you've done, hey, it's under the blood. You have one thing in common with everybody who wants to be discipled by Christ. You got to be with Jesus. Walk with him, talk with him, learn from him. Woo! Speak to your situation as it should be and not as it is. Remind yourself that God has done a great thing and he's doing it in you and through you. I praise God that he has chosen the ordinary. I praise God that he chose the ones the world calls foolish to carry out his kingdom work here on earth. I'm thankful he calls people like me and he calls people like you. I'm thankful. He can change the world through the ordinary. Let them do it again and again and again and again. But here's the main qualification. Are you going to surrender your life? Are you going to be with Jesus? Are you going to stop following the crowds and start leading them? If it's 2, if it's 4, if it's 40, if it's 1,000, are you going to be a leader? Are you going to be discipled? I was thinking about this as we were just worshiping a moment. It says in Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission, and it talks about go into the world and make disciples of all nations. You can't make disciples unless you're a disciple. That's good. He's looking for discipled people to be his disciples to disciple. That's what he's called us to do until he comes back again. Followers of Jesus, you got to stop thinking like the world and start thinking like Christ. God uses the ordinary. He loves to use people like you, and he loves to use people like me. This morning, there's people in the house today, maybe you have counted yourself out when God is actually calling you out. Hey, come on. You have counted yourself out when God is actually calling you out. It's time. It's time to forget the former way of life. It's time to come and be discipled. It's time to be anointed and appointed to lead. Hallelujah. This is where I wrote Holy Ghost time. Hallelujah. I'm one of the greatest examples of falling and feeling like a failure. And disqualifying myself. Where God says, no. Pick yourself up. Let me change you, mold you, shape you, so I can use you. I'm calling you out of the crowd to lead the crowd. Just like Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he called out 12 to lead the multitudes. Now you think, hey, I'm not called into ministry. See, this is where you think so small. Oh, I'm not in the fivefold ministry. I can't preach. I can't teach. I'm not called behind a pulpit. That's okay. Your life is a pulpit. Maybe you're called to 2. Maybe it's 20. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your neighbors. Maybe it's to classmates. Maybe it's to people you work with. Maybe it's to everybody on the street. Maybe he's calling you forth to be an evangelist, to go everywhere and to do everything that he's called you to do. Maybe he's calling for you to change something in your life so you can change other lives. Maybe, just maybe, he wants you to be discipled, to make disciples. But you have disqualified yourself. But today, God is going to change that. It's time to stand up and lead. It's time to get out of the crowd and start leading a crowd. Amen? Will you bow your heads with me? I'm gonna pray something. Father, I thank you. Brent, if you can come, please. Father, I thank you that you choose the ordinary to do the extraordinary. I thank you that you have called out the ones that you have called out, that you want us to rise up in leadership qualities and leadership ways. I thank you, God, that you are rising up your people to do what you have prepared for them. But there are people in here today that have disqualified themselves, and I pray the lies of the enemy be broken by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I am not who I once was, and I'm never going back. I'm going to follow Christ with all that I have and everything that I am. I am called to be a leader amongst leaders. I'm called to lead my family. I'm called to lead other people in my life. I'm called to speak out and to stand out and to be, like we heard this morning, holy and set apart. There are people in the house today that right now, I pray that you give them a boldness, Holy Spirit. Rise up in them to do what you've called them to do. Now, if that's you today and you're like, man, I am called to be a disciple. I'm called to be led out of this so I can lead others. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm called to be a leader. I'm called to speak out. I'm called. I know God has prepared me. He's preparing me. I've disqualified myself, but I am qualified. God, I know that you have prepared me to be a leader. Just raise your hand in the air. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you have your hand raised, please stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Evangelist Josh Radford, who came a couple weeks ago, he said that there's a time coming and it's now, and he says that every believer is going to be equipped to do the works of the ministry. Every believer is going to do what God has called them to. And there's people right now that are standing that are recognizing that call in their life. The ones that are sitting, I pray this, God's going to give you something. He's going to give you a call in your life. You're going to know what it is that he's called you to and who he's called you to. That you're called to lead. There's not a single person. The only person that you're supposed to follow is follow Christ, and then you're supposed to lead everybody else. You're not called to be a follower. You're called to be a leader. Every believer, everywhere. So the ones that are standing right now, will you do me a favor? Will you line up if we can, just shoulder to shoulder up here? I'm going to anoint you before we go. The anointing in the Word of God, they use an anointing like this, and it's a representation of the Holy Spirit. Just take one step so I have enough room. Thank you. Yep, shoulder to shoulder if you can. If not, make two lines and then I'll just pray for you. I'm just going to anoint you quickly. Everybody else who's in the crowd, will you extend your hands to them? Pray for them. God's calling them out in a special anointing to preach the good news, to do something special. I'm going to pray for these specific ones here. And then I'm just going to go and I'm going to, Brent's going to sing and I'm just going to anoint you, right? Here's the thing. If you're in this row and in these rows and even out there, I want you to look at me, okay? What you believe about yourself that is not written in God's word, it's a lie. It's a lie. First, this is truth. You're not enough. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not going to do these things on your own strength. That's why we need Jesus. And he says that we're made perfect in our weakness, in his strength. When we are weak, he is strong. It's time to step out of the boat and realize, you know what? I can't do this without you. But with you, I can do all things. Everything you've ever prepared for me, I am ready now. But you have to recognize that you are not crippled by those things that you once were. It's time to rise up, pick up your mat, and walk. Come on now. Woo! I want you to do something. I just feel led by the Lord. If you're here right now, I just want you to put your hands on your head. Okay? Father, I believe that you have everybody's heart that is up here. But there's people up here, they haven't given you their head, their thoughts, their dreams, their aspirations. They haven't given it to you completely. They're still stuck in some mindsets that are of the world and not of you. May they find their identity in Christ. May they know who they are. They are a son or a daughter of the Most High. They were once dead, but now they're alive. They're chosen to be discipled and follow after you and read your word and learn from you so they can disciple others. I pray right now you transform, you renew their mind with your word. I pray that it be washed in your word. Purify them now to know the truth. And may the truth set them free. Woo, free to do what you called them to. Free to go where you've called them to go. Free to say something and to not say anything at all. The ones that, I just pray there's a special anointing. As I pray for them, they'll be emboldened with the Holy Spirit and they'll be led and they'll know. I pray for clarity to know what to do and where to go and how to speak. I also pray for favor with man. That they find favor, they're not good enough. They're ordinary. That's what makes them so extraordinary, because it's a spirit inside of them. It's you that changes all things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you, and I just say this too. When things amazingly happen in their life, they promise immediately to give you all the glory and all the praise. When things shake off in their life and they see things happen and they look back and they see people following them as they follow Christ, they will give you glory. It's not in and of themselves, but God, you're going to use them as a vessel. You deserve all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, if you're in these lines, I just want you to extend your hands somehow, however you want to prepare that, just an international sign of surrender or receiving. I'm just going to walk by, and there's nothing special about me, but I just want to anoint you. I want to do an impartation. The Bible teaches about that. An impartation. I've been there. I've lived there. I know what that's like. I want to impart, just be used as a vessel to impart that God is going to call you and use you in a mighty way in spite of you. And that those lies of the enemy will be broken in your life. You are special, handpicked by God to be his disciple. Woo!